project that the IMF and the World Bank are making African countries where people are starving to death or are not getting enough medicine every day, and people are dying every single day because they are privatized. Unless they will not relieve the debt until they privatize every single part of their country. So what we're doing is we're here to make an important political statement about what is going on in the world. So far, the decisions being made by these eight people is bullshit. And we are here because we are involved in trying to make social change, political change, because people are dying and we don't want to stand for this anymore. We make our political statement in this way. It's colourfully, you know, there are people of all colours in this world. But it just seems that the most important colour in this world is white. And it's white people who are not starving to death as much as black people. Africa is dying. And there's not just a war in Iraq. There is a war on hunger. There is a war on medicine. And there's a war on life everywhere. And so we're here to address that.
Okay, there are activist camps. There are two camps, one official and one non-official.
À Lausanne, il y a deux camps qui accueillent les militants. Un qui est officiel, mis à disposition par la mairie, et l'autre qui est squatté.
Sí, en Lausanne, va a haber dos campos que acogen a los militantes, uno el oficial y otro el no oficial.
En Lausanne gibt es zwei Camps im Moment. Eins ist ein offizielles, das andere nicht.
The unofficial one is the important one.
Le plus important, c'est celui qui est pas officiel.
El más importante es el que no es oficial.
Also das Wichtige ist das nicht offizielle.
There are people coming from Zurich and Bern, and they'll convene on Lausanne, but they need more activists. And considering that we're stuck here, it would make sense that people from our side try to reach Lausanne while it's still possible.
Il y a des gens qui vont arriver de Berne et de Zurich encore à Lausanne, mais ils ont vraiment besoin de monde, donc ça serait assez intéressant si une partie des gens ici pouvaient se rendre à Lausanne en renfort pour les blocages.
Also es werden aus Zürich und Bern noch weitere Aktivisten nach Lausanne dazustoßen, aber es ist wichtig, dass auch von uns hier welche sich nach Lausanne aufmachen, solange es noch...
Okay, we've just arrived in Lausanne, across the Swiss border from Annemasse, where we stayed. We were urged to come to Lausanne by the during the meeting at the VARG, the alternative anti-capitalist and anti-war village. They were arguing there for people to leave Annemasse and to come over to Lausanne to take part in the blockade. So that's what we've done. We had a little bit of a problem at the border with the border guards saying that we'd not got the right papers to get in with the vehicle, but that seemed to be sorted out. We've met up now with some people from in the media in the south of France from Nantes. They're very nice. They're giving us a lift down to the Indie Media Centre down at Lausanne by the lake. And we'll report later about what's happening. We just attended the Pink and Silver Block meeting and the general meeting at the village on Lausanne on the lake of Lake Le Mans. Tomorrow we've agreed that we'll be starting early at 5 o'clock. Our sound system will be the wake-up call for our village. We meet at 6 and we'll be off towards the yellow zone at Lausanne to stop the blockades. There was also talk of pirate barges that have been made around Lausanne to go across Lake Le Mans to Evian. Which everybody really enjoyed and shouted and screamed at. So we're on for the big day tomorrow, and we'll report further as what happens. The police are now beginning to attack the Pink and Silver Block demonstration. You can see they're
modify the proposal, because there are some groups that really do not want to go down there by the sound of things, so that if they refuse then they can go round and do that. There's no way you can force affinity groups.
Yeah.
But
it's because there are different optics. This is like the last entrance, so the police will defend it like really hard. So if we go there we should be ready for confrontation, but we should define that type of confrontation.
It's a camera, but it's an audio recorder. So, tell me, do you know what time you were taken from the camp here?
We think we were taken around about 2:30.
Okay.
Around about 2:30.
Okay.
And we were cuffed with these plastic things and taken into the back of one of those transporters.
Yeah.
Taken to first to a kind of either a big prison centre, police centre or a military centre.
Yeah.
Where you had all the different, the three police, you know, the German,
Swiss,
the French police.
Yeah.
And they were all kind of, it was complete confusion, generally. Got there, and we were then in a queuing system to go to another place.
Yeah.
This was a good 20 minutes down the
And how many people did you see there in this queuing system?
It was just van after van.
There
was about 4 or 5 vans.
Right, got
of about 10 people, 12 people in each one.
Yeah.
And we were all being taken to one place, which was what they say, like a kind of a Swiss, it's a special kind of civic centre in Switzerland where...
Okay.
Well, anyway, they'd had these newly made cages, effectively, little mini prisons, put in the bottom basement of this place. And we were taken in. We were taken in out of the van eventually. But initially, they didn't know what to do with us. They took us to a little car park.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this a radio car came out. And the woman started asking questions, saying, you know, what are you doing here? And basically, they phoned up their controller and they said, you know, where the hell are we supposed to be taking these people? Do I speak French or understood what was going on?
Ah.
And said, oh, we don't know yet, you need to go on Channel 7. Finally find out that it's 100 yards away, they got the wrong place. So we finally find the right place, we're unloaded, all our stuff's taken, checked, passports, money is counted. We're then never told anything about why you've been taken.
Yeah.
There was only what can you speak, what's your best language? There was nothing about you're being held, you've not been arrested, you've been this blah, but nothing.
Nothing, no information at all.
Cuffed. And then cuffed again, but hands behind the back,
right,
to go into this pen.
Okay.
underneath the ground.
Civic Centre, yeah.
With 35 others.
In one pen?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there were four pens, and there was one woman pen, and there was three men pens.
And you were all handcuffed behind your back in
the. But when
pens.
We got in there, people had little tools, so they were actually undoing all the handcuffs.
Cool.
So we were like free, and they said, how did you get free? And we just like put our hands behind our backs again.
Yeah.
And otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to drink water. They would have had to feed it to us through the cages.
So you were saying earlier on they didn't give you water initially?
To begin with, they were trying to give it to us through the cages only when we begged them for it.
Like hamsters?
Yeah, like hamsters. And we started howling like dogs, right? Because we were basically being put
treated
in kennels.
Like dogs, yeah.
And we didn't... There was just no information at all. And there's just these officers coming, walking past menacingly with guns in holsters, everything.
Yeah.
And it got past 1 hour, and then it got past 2 hour, and basically people in the cells went apeshit.
Right.
There were young kids who were trying to smash the pens down.
Shit.
Like with the police just saying, don't do that. And like, but they were turning really passive people into like animals. Everyone's saying we're being turned into animals here. Let us out or we're going to go absolutely apeshit.
Yeah.
And we were literally for about half an hour, people tried to smash the pens down.
Shit.
With the police watching.
Right.
And eventually, I think that got us the water.
Right.
And then, fucking hell, what happened after that? Just the constant. And then we got a legal team.
Okay.
Told us basically that this was completely illegal. The police knew it was illegal. They were detaining under 18 year olds. They knew that was illegal.
That's illegal.
And they were doing it.
Okay.
And that we had every right, blah, blah, blah. We just had to sit tight and everyone calmed down. But everyone was getting really agitated.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of tension in the camps, because in the cells, because some of the youngsters were trying to constantly smash things down and wouldn't let anyone talk to the actual police.
Right.
And we needed to find out what was going on.
Sure, you needed information.
And about 4 hours or 3 hours later, you know, we finally found out that there'd been this accident involving buses. Have you not heard about this?
Not heard about this at all, no.
Apparently, three buses that were being sent out to pick us up, one went the wrong way, and then when it came back, it either caused an accident or got involved in an accident.
Okay.
Which meant that's why all our buses were delayed.
Right.
And no one could believe that this was going on.
Yeah.
The complete cock up, they'd fucked everything up.
Yeah.
Then they arrived, and then eventually they called our names out one by one, gave us our packs, gave us all our belongings back, and no explanation, nothing.
So they didn't say why they kept you, what they kept,
police
why they take me from here.
No, police escorting the bus back, and then that was it, off the bus, nothing.
And what time did you end up arriving back here now?
We got back here about 2 hours ago.
So
maybe even longer now.
About 10 o'clock, so about 8 o'clock.
Yeah, maybe about 8 o'clock, yeah.
Cool. And just, can you tell me which country you're from?
I'm from the UK.
From the UK, great. Thank you very much.
Leeds Indy Media, mate.
Nice one.
Starting up to you from...